Today we're going to have part two on sharing our faith, common obstacles. If you were here last week, we got partway through this, and so I'll review points number one and two, and then we'll get into today's material. But from last week, the first one, what if I don't know enough? That's a common obstacle for Christians. I don't really want to get into a Bible discussion with someone or maybe even talk about God or the Bible at all because they might ask me something and I don't know. And regarding that, if you ever get asked a question you don't know, that's okay. Don't panic, whatever you do. Don't panic. Compliment them. Say, that's a very good question. I don't know. And maybe you've never thought about it. But compliment them and tell them, you know, I'm going to check on that. That's good. And you could keep talking. There may be other things you want to say. And so that's fine. Don't ever think you need to know everything to talk to someone because you never will. You never will if you think you need to know everything and have every question answerable. But our scripture for this, a reminder to us, 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to make a defense. You can be prepared to make a defense. Do you know how you became a Christian? Do you know how to become a Christian? You can tell people your story. And so we need to not let this be a hindrance to talking about our God and our Savior Jesus. Number two, who am I to try to tell someone else? This one, sometimes something can sound really noble and humble, but it's really Satan. Giving us a thought to hold us back. And that's this one. This one says, well, I don't really have my life really to this standard I think I ought to be. And so I don't want to say anything because they may point to one of my faults or things I've done wrong. And the best advice on this one is, A, no one's perfect. If we need perfect people to spread the gospel, that ended 2,000 years ago when Jesus went back to heaven. We don't have any perfect people left. We don't have any. So be authentic. Be transparent. Tell them, you know what? You need to know I don't have everything together in my life. I'm trying to walk with God, but I fall. And I fail. And I sin. And I repent. So don't look at me as the perfect example, but I do want to tell you what I found in Jesus. And so Jesus said in Matthew 9:37, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And sometimes we don't have enough laborers because some of our laborers are saying, well, I'm probably not the right person to say anything. We need every Christian is a laborer, and we need every Christian sharing their faith, everyone. And you can share your faults as well. All right, today's material, point number three, religion is a personal matter. It's not my business. And we kind of have some things drilled into us. You know, you don't talk about religion, you don't talk about politics. You don't ask someone how they voted. That's personal. And you don't get into religion. That's personal. Well, yes and no. I mean, religion is personal. Everyone will stand before God one day. God will call every name, including yours. And when that happens, it'll just be you. Just you, not your spouse, not your parents, not your kids, just you. It's personal. If your neighbor's house was on fire, I want you to imagine for a second, your neighbor's house is on fire. What do you see smoke coming out of the top of their, you know, the ends of their, under the eaves. You know their attic is on fire. What do? Hopefully you call 911. That's a good start. And then, wouldn't you go over, and if you thought they might be inside, wouldn't you go over and bang on their front door? Maybe even walk around and knock on some bedroom windows. Wouldn't you do everything you could if you thought they were going to die in this burning house to help them? Now, that's an extreme scenario. I get that. But that's what we're doing. We're trying to save someone. And we don't rush to them, you know, talking about Jesus and salvation and grab them by the shoulders and shake them like their house is on fire. I'm not saying that. But we also don't just concede and say, well, you know, they know where the church is. I mean, it's personal. I'm just going to leave that to them. Do we care enough to try to help them? To try to save them? To try to show them Jesus? To try something? Do we care enough? So James, this passage was our scripture reading this morning. It says, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth. Now this is talking about someone who's already been saved and wandered away. By the way, this is anyone in this room. You might be walking with God today, but in 6 months, maybe you've wandered away. If someone brings him back, someone, are you a someone? Let's stop there for a second. Someone brings them back. It didn't say an elder or deacon or minister or an elder's wife or a Sunday school teacher. It didn't say just someone. If someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul. Can you save someone? I thought Jesus saved. I thought God saved. God literally saves, absolutely. Through Jesus, absolutely. But God has chosen to save people only through the word of God that's spread through Christians. Remember the eunuch traveling on the road in the chariot? Philip goes to the eunuch. Remember Cornelius? He gets a vision. Peter goes to Cornelius. Remember Paul? He's blinded on the road and spoken to by Jesus. But Ananias talks to Paul. Somebody talked to somebody who told you about Jesus, and that's why you're here today. That's the only way, that's God's only plan for spreading the gospel. That's why he told his apostles, go. It is on us. It's not on anyone else. And yeah, God's pulling the big strings. God's doing the saving. God does the heavy lifting. But God has said, I need you, someone. I need somebody to go and save someone. So in a way, we are saving them, not literally, but helping them to be saved. And it will cover a multitude of sins. I had a brother here mention this to me last week, and I want to use it today. He said, a sad thing, one of the saddest things is for someone to say to you, a Christian, you know what, I didn't know you were a Christian. Think about that. I didn't know you were a Christian. It's kind of sad because by the way we live and talk, people should at least have an idea. But more sad than that would be on Judgment Day for someone you know to pass and say, I didn't know you were a Christian. It is a personal matter, but if someone is in danger, we press through some of our politeness and some of our just social boundaries. We press through if someone's in danger to help them, and we need to do that. All right, number four. And this is one that I wrestle with. This is one that can be a barrier for me. What if it ends my relationship with them? This one's hard for me because sometimes in sharing your faith, Even asking someone, hey, do you have a church home? You know, you're wanting to invite, you're about to invite them, but you start by, that's one of the best ways I've heard, by the way. I've been meaning to ask you, do you have a church home? But when you bring up religion, you are making, normally, often, you make someone uncomfortable. Would you agree? You bring up religion, you bring up faith, you bring up judgment, any of those things. You make someone a little uncomfortable, maybe a lot. And that goes against every part of my being. Everything in me is wired to have a good social interaction with someone. It's not even so much about them liking me. It's just them not being upset with me. I'm hardwired that way. But a reminder, a couple tips. Number one, do it in love. Whatever we say, do it in love. Make sure they know. Tell them, you know, I care about you, or I wouldn't even bring this up. I care about you. And there's a technique which is you could talk to someone about faith, But if they get to a point where you can tell they're saying stop in so many ways, they don't want it, they're done, then you stop and you politely tell them, you know what, I'm not trying to offend you and I'm not going to beat you over the head with this, but will you please remember I cared enough, somebody cared enough to say something. You may someday want to talk more. Please know I care about you. And I still want us to be friends. I hope this doesn't, you know, I'm not going to talk about this every time I see you. So there's a way to do it and preserve the bridge. We want to leave a bridge if we can. But Ephesians 5:15 says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time. Why does it say best use of the time? Because our relationships are temporary. Did you know? So this, you know, this obstacle is, well, I don't want to end the relationship. Your relationship is going to end anyway. Did you know that? If you're married, that marriage is going to end someday. Because in heaven, Jesus said, in heaven, there will neither be marriage nor given in marriage, but we will be like angels. We won't have need for procreation. There are a lot of things we won't have need for in heaven, and marriage relationship won't exist there. Now, you may find your deceased in Christ married spouse, yes, have a relationship, but not a marriage relationship, okay? I believe we will know people in heaven, but not married. And the same would be true, father, son, you know, mother, daughter, siblings. We will be brothers and sisters in Christ. What's worse than a relationship ending here because someone became so frustrated with your position or how you talk to them about your faith, what's worse than that is for it to end in eternity. What if you're in heaven and they're not in heaven? Your relationship with them is over. And so we need to remember our time is limited, and really the relationships we have with people, they're going to end in the way that we know them. Do we want to risk maybe not having such a great relationship with them here, but maybe give them a chance to be saved? And so we want to do it wisely, lovingly, have to do it in love, but we need to think about that. Number five, this is a big one. I struggle with this one sometimes. It's not going to make a difference. I'm not going to say anything to them because I know they don't even care. They don't want God. They don't want Jesus. Obviously, they're living life their way. They don't want to hear it. Like we said last Sunday, give them a chance. Jesus, in Matthew 19, there was a man that was born blind, and people came, and his disciples asked him, who sinned? I mean, they had a mentality that if something really bad happened to you in life, it's God punishing. And so for somebody to be born blind, somebody messed up. That was their attitude, which is incorrect. And Jesus corrected that. And then Jesus said, or Scripture says, when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. A few weeks or months ago, Abby, we signed her up for what's called an AP test. And in high school, you can take a test. Years ago, we called them CLEP tests. But you can take a test in history or science or whatever it is. And as a senior in high school, if you pass it, then it gives you that credit in college. You don't have to take that class in college. University considers that you know that material, and so you kind of test out of it. So Abby had signed, you have to sign up well in advance for these tests. You have to pay money. And so she did. And then the time came, it was the week of. So at the end of the week, she has to take these tests. She comes to me and says, Dad, I don't think I want to take these tests because I really haven't had time to study. I've been busy, been doing all these things. And this week, I've got things going on. I'm not going to have time to study. I'm not, you know, feeling great. I've been kind of struggling and I've not been sleeping well. And I know I'm not going to pass them. And so I don't think I should even take them. It's going to be a waste of time to take them. So I gave her a pep talk. And the pep talk, listen, I didn't tell her how smart she is. I didn't tell her how capable she is. I didn't tell her you can do it. I didn't say, listen, kid, I know, you know, this is looking bad. The odds are against you, but you have all these things in. I didn't build her up at all. I just said, if you don't take them, you're guaranteed to fail. But if you take them, there's a chance. Take the test. Give yourself a chance. She passed both of them, by the way. Right? Give yourself a chance. When I watch basketball, I don't know if y'all know it, but it's basketball season now. And starts tomorrow night. OU has their first game tomorrow night. It's basketball season. And when I watch basketball, at the end of a game, and this happens fairly often, I'll give you a scenario. My team is down 1 point, and they have the ball, and they have 6 seconds left on the clock. And so in 6 seconds, you have enough time to bring the ball up the court and get a shot off. A decent shot, not a half-court shot. A decent shot in 6 seconds. You're down by one. In those scenarios, I always have one wish. And my wish is because of times in the past when it did not happen. I always have one wish. I say to myself, team, just get a shot off. Get the ball up into what, you know what I mean? Try to have that thing hit the rim. I mean, just get it up. Because I've seen where they bring the ball up, have a decent shot, pass it off for a better shot, the ball stolen, whatever, the ball never even gets attempted. My thought is, give the team and all us fans watching, give us a chance, for crying out loud. Just a chance. Because if we don't get a shot off, we definitely will not make it. You know how many souls may end up in hell because a Christian said, I don't think it's even worth a chance. Let's give them a chance. And more than that, let's give God a chance. What do you think God can do? Do you realize some people who are faithful, godly Christians, they resisted it for a time. They didn't look like they wanted it. They said they didn't want it, but inside spiritually they were torn. That is, God has put a seed in every soul, and that soul needs spiritual wholeness with God. And it's in every person. And people struggle with that in different ways. But we need to give people a chance and give God a chance and believe in God and what He can do. All right, now this last one, number six. I really, really struggle with this one as well. It's not the best time. Not the best time. Any scenario where, I mean, almost any scenario where I have the opportunity to say something about my faith or God, it just seems like there could be a better time. I mean, this is happening or that's happening, or they seem that they might be in a hurry. They might not have time to even, this might not be the best. So let me just hold off for a better time. And, this is the passage where a man was born blind and the disciples were asking about that. This is this passage in John chapter 9. And Jesus answered them that it wasn't the man that sinned, it wasn't his parents that sinned, but that God's glory could be shown. That's why. And so Jesus is going to heal this man, and then he makes this statement in verse 4. He says, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Night is coming. And that's a reminder, Judgment Day is coming. Jesus could come today. He could come before we leave this building. We don't know, and that's night. We don't know when night is coming. We don't know if we will get another chance. So I want to encourage you, this is going to be in my mind when I think, well, maybe there'd be a better time. Well, Elliot, say something, because maybe this is going to be the only time. this might be the last time. I remember when I was a teenager, we would have, years ago, we would have what we called youth rallies. And on a Saturday morning, area teens from congregations would gather and we would sing and have sermons and lessons and eat and have a good time together, have youth rallies. And at these events, sometimes skits would be performed and also maybe at church camp, but a skit would be performed with a spiritual message. And one stands out to me. The scenario is people would line up on stage. It would start with them they're lined up, and the voice of God you would hear over the microphone, and it would call the first person's name. Elliot Dunn. I mean, it's loud, right? I don't have a Jim Brewer voice, so I can't do that. Sorry. But they would step forward and look up, and God would say, "Depart from me." You'd hear the voice of God, "Depart from me. I never knew you." Their head would drop. They would turn and walk, and there's other people in line, but the last person in line is a Christian because they're bouncing. And they're looking around, and man, they are excited because they're about to go into heaven. And it's judgment day, but for them, it's a day to go to heaven. I mean, they're so excited. This person walks back and sees the Christian, and they know them. And they say, "Elliot, you knew about Jesus? You knew about... Why didn't you say anything?" And the person at the back of the line says, "Man, I don't know. I just didn't have the time, I guess." Give some excuse. They move up. Next person. All of them know them. And the Christian had no good answer for why they didn't say anything. And then finally, the Christian's name is called, and God says, "Depart from me. I never knew you." That skit has always stuck with me of what has to be the saddest thing you could imagine. How are we going to be on Judgment Day if God holds us accountable for being so quiet about our faith? And how are we going to be on Judgment Day if someone we know and care about, they're in the wrong line? We might be in that line with them. But what if we're in the right line? Because Jesus said we'll be separated sheep and goats. What if we're in the right line and they're in the wrong line and they look and say, "Why didn't you say anything?" And what's our answer? "I don't know. I didn't think you'd be interested. You know, I always thought there'd be a better time to say something. I always thought religion's kind of personal, so I just left it to you." I mean, none of those make any sense at all. And so we need to be about God's business, realizing time is short. We're going to sing an invitation song. And I remind you, we have opportunities coming up. Tonight, we're going to have a singing here. We had 300 people the last time we had an area singing. And we hope to fill this room to capacity tonight. So I remind you about that. It's still not too late to invite someone to that. Next Sunday, we're going to have Friends and Family Day. And we've had a lot of success with those because people consider it an honor for you to say, "Would you come and be my guest, you know, at church for Friends and Family Day?" So we have that coming up as well. But other opportunities, watch, and God will help you to share your faith. We need to be about that. If you have a need this morning, we want to help you with it. And if you're not right with God, you're not in Christ, and God called your name at Judgment Day today, how would you feel? If you're not right, let us help you if you'll come while we stand and sing. Oh, yeah.